All right, Kevin Barker, if I told you that since Chris Bassett joined the Blue Jays in 2023, only one major league pitcher has gone more starts of six-plus innings and allowing two earned runs or fewer than Bassett's 21. Which pitcher would that be? This tells you how good...
Gerrit Cole.
Bingo, 23. This tells you how good Chris Bassett has been since he's been with the Blue Jays. More to the point, his 115 pitches thrown tonight, this is according to SN Stats, they are the most by any MLB starter in a March-April game since 2021. The Blue Jays, 5-3 winners over the Seattle Mariners. Kevin Barker, my Blue Jays have won a season series. Admit it. You had some doubts there.
Yeah. Well, look.
The way that horrible 4-6 road trip went, the one where you were basically burying the team because they didn't go 6-4.
See, that hurts.
I'm just saying.
That hurts. I was talking about mentally building on something that you were working on in spring training, and now you're throwing me under the Greyhound.
I'm not throwing you under the Greyhound.
Yeah, you are. Absolutely are.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not throwing it. I'm just pointing it out.
Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
I just said, you know, 90% of baseball is confidence. And when you go 4-6 and you don't hit, and you get no hit and one hit on the road, probably you're not oozing confidence on the,
said
to Toronto.
Today,
that's what I said.
If I remember correctly, you said today 90% of the game is 50% confidence is what you said earlier
today. It was the other way
today.
Around.
Or 50% of the game is 90% confidence. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Bo Bichette hits a home run for the Blue Jays today. No home run
About
jacket.
Time.
No home run jacket. Didn't see the home run jacket.
I think that's over.
But let's start the conversation, honestly, with Chris Bassett. Early in the game, he seemed to have some trouble getting the ball down in the zone. But, Kevin, you pointed out very early, in the second inning, I was looking, and I know we don't like to look at velo, but the second inning, Kevin, his sinker was half a mile an hour to a mile an hour faster. His sweeper was over 1 mile an hour faster. Slider was over 2 miles an hour faster. He found that velocity. Not that he's going to throw 100, but he found the velocity he was looking for, didn't he?
Did you listen to me today on our show? Whenever you ask me the question of what Chris Bassett has to do today,
that's why I'm teeing you up after throwing you under the Greyhound. I'm teeing you up here.
Yeah, so you really didn't listen. I mean, I'm sort of used to you not listening to me. What I said was, when you asked me that question, I said his sinker and his cutter has to be up a tick, which would mean the sinker has to be, instead of 89 to 91, it got to be 91 to 93 and an occasional 94, 95. That's exactly what we see. Why? You asked, Jeff, should it be 91 to 93? Why would that make it better? Because now when he throws the sweeper 10 times, the slider 10 times, the curveball 10 times, he can get away with bad ones, right? He's not perfect. I mean, he's got a bazillion pitches. Sooner or later, he's going to throw one down the middle. But if I'm throwing 91, 93, and it's moving all over the place, and I can elevate it, and I can throw it down, and I can make you uncomfortable by throwing it in, and, you know, like he does, you know, he starts that cutter at the front elbow of a right-handed hitter that's a little elevated, what do you do with that, right? If it's 93, I'm probably taking it, I'm cheating, and I'm opening up the front side. What do you do next? You throw me the slider, or you throw me the sweeper, or you can flip that little slow breaking ball, or if you're left-handed, you can sort of do it backwards, right? You can throw the split finger, you can throw the slow curveball. Like, you can do a bunch of things, but what you got to do is speed the bat up. You got to tell that hitter, I feel frisky with my fastball velocity, and now you got to get it going a little sooner, and now I can throw you whatever I want to throw you, and I can go deep in the game, and that's exactly what happened.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590-53. The Blue Jays are undefeated at home. Well, they are. They're undefeated at home in 20. I'm trying to, and you're laughing. The Blue Jays are undefeated at home in 2024. And interested in your take on the offense through these first two games. Are you starting to? Is this something a little more what you expected from the Blue Jays in the year? Want to call us about the starting pitching as well. I want to know how many of you were surprised that Chris Bassett went out there again. Were you surprised? Yeah,
absolutely.
But I was surprised too.
He's 100 years old.
100
and
years old.
And then what we saw yesterday.
And he threw 100.
Absolutely.
And John didn't get booed. John didn't get booed this time.
No, I mean, you leave him out there for 115 pitches, you don't get booed, yeah?
John made like five trips to the mound today and didn't get booed. So it's all over.
Way to go, Toronto.
There you go. Hey, the Jays fouled off 26 pitches from George Kirby. Buck mentioned this on the broadcast, and it's something Dave Sims, I think, talked about a little bit earlier, and we had him on the Mariners announcer. Kevin, how does a guy with that good stuff, or with stuff as good as his stuff, have a difficulty finishing guys off? Because it seems this year as if, now again, small sample size, but this is a guy who's considered one of the best young pitchers in baseball. And you saw his stuff today when it was on. It's electric. How does he have a difficulty finishing off right-handed hitters in particular?
Yeah, I used to ask John Gibbons all the time, why does a left-handed hitter not capable of hitting the ball where they ain't standing? Meaning when that guy goes into right field, why can't you just slap it to shortstop? He looked right at me and said, that's not how they made it to the big leagues. George Kirby, we had two guys on today talking about this, says that he's trying to go strike to ball with two strike pitches. And you mentioned why. They've had, 27 foul balls? Well, most of those were off of George Kirby. And the reason why that is when you get to two strikes, the first thing your internal clock is telling you is to let it travel, and this guy's going to throw you strikes. He ain't going to go strike the ball. Just for whatever reason, the breaking ball, the slider, the secondary stuff, he just doesn't want to do it that way. He wants to try and live on the corners and get some outs that way instead of having 7 or 8 or 9, 10 punch outs. So, give the Blue Jays credit, right? They understood that going in. They understood that a guy's trying to do that. If you let it travel, you can slap that off. You can live to fight another pitch. And then when you get your good one, sort of like Bo, sort of like George Springer, you don't miss it. You can help your team win a baseball game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give the Blue Jays credit. They battled, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You battle when you get to those counts where you have to battle. Fight off the pitcher's pitches. Get yours. When you get it, don't miss it. That's what they did.
Yeah, that third inning was quite a grind for
That's a good word.
George Kirby. The balk on with Dalton Varsho at first base, balking after two disengagements, it really surprised me. I know it's early in the year, but you don't expect that. At least I don't expect that from a guy. Kevin, they stole a couple of bases and Craig Biggio's stolen base turns out to be important because he comes in to score on Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's double. He might have scored from first in that anyhow. But the point is, one of the things we know the Jays wanted to do when they talked about building that home field advantage is try to create kind of a sense of dynamism that wasn't there last year. And the team was boring offensively at times last year.
Yeah.
Today seemed to be a bit of the template, you know. I'm not saying that. I don't know how George Kirby's wired. I'm not saying they got in his head, but I am saying that was an interesting inning from a guy who is considered one of the elite young pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, I think it's a guy trying to work on something, an organization telling him to take it to the next level. You're going to have something that goes strike to ball, right? Two strikes, mm-hmm. It's action in three pitches. Whenever you don't get that, you sort of get those Springer at-bats, those Bo Bichette at-bats, where you know they're not real afraid of your secondary stuff because they know you're going to throw it for strikes, right? You
right.
let it travel, you fight it off. Maybe he spins one that I can catch out front because I got a really good two-strike approach, Bo Bichette. Or if you're George Springer, right, you're not trying to do too much, mm-hmm. You're fighting it off because you know it's going to be around the strike zone. It's a great approach. I do want to give Dalton Varsho base running.
Yes, absolutely.
Kudos. Do you know how hard it is to run the bases when offensively you have not gotten off to the start that you want to get off to? It is very hard to separate that part of your game, and then when you're in another part of your game, actually forget about what you're not doing well. And for him to be able to freeze, take a step back on the line drive, and go to home,
mm-hmm.
as much as we complain, at least me, about how bad the base running is, man, that's great stuff. If you're a kid watching that, go back and just rewind it and watch it over again. Rewind it and watch it over again. That's something special.
It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. 5-3, the Blue Jays beating the Seattle Mariners. Do not forget tomorrow's third and final game of the series. It is a 3:07 start. Blair and Barker will be on with an hour-long pregame show before the game. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk after the game live on radio and TV. We are going to do the same thing we did last week. We'll solicit your voice mails. You can call the back leg line. The number is 416-413-3959. Or tomorrow you can text us at 590-590 during the game, and we will get around to answering your questions. But for now, let's go to Jim in Hamilton.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
Jeff, as usual, you're wrong. I agree with Kevin.
Yes.
That's why when
Jim, thanks for calling. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
That's why when I said before the season started, they needed to go on the road and come back home 7-3, hit the ground running.
They're undefeated at home.
And that's before they came home, the road trip, right?
Yeah, but they're undefeated. The road, clearly the 4-6 road trip didn't matter to them. They're undefeated at home.
Well, without Schneider's and the blessing of the baseball gods, the road trip would have been 3-7. I'm a little dyslexic. Kevin might be a little dyslexic too when he said 6-4 and they came back 4-6. Either way you cut it, Jeff, I'm sorry you were wrong. 5-5 didn't cut it. Anyway, moving on. Bassett. I saw him in the first inning after the top of the first. He was rubbing the top of his forearm. And then when they did the camera shot into the dugout with Pete and the trainer also pointed to the top of the forearm as well.
Right.
I don't know if there's any concern with that. But my other question is about the pitchcom. Last game that Bassett started, they were fumbling around with the pitchcom. And his next pitch wasn't good. Tonight, it was a similar situation. They got it straightened out. Should Bassett just call the game from the beginning and don't worry what Kirk is calling?
I'll
hang up and listen to your answer. Thank
all
you,
right. Thanks, Jim. First of all, about Chris Bassett, yeah, we all saw the camera shot. He threw 115 pitches, so I would imagine he was okay. And I'm not saying that facetiously. We saw him go down in the dugout. I should say go down to the clubhouse, I think between the third and fourth inning. But, I mean, he has, and Dan and Buck both said, that's not unusual. He has, I mean, you'll see pitchers, hell, maybe they go down to, you know, right? Take care of nature's affairs during the game. So it's not entirely unusual to see a dude go into the clubhouse. But, yeah, there was some discussion about something. Maybe when we get John Schneider's post-game commentary, post-game interview, we'll be able to find out. I, you know, again, 115 pitches, no major league starters thrown that many pitches in a March April game since 2021. That would suggest to me that Chris Bassett was okay.
Yeah, and I'm dealing with the pitch com. I'm under the impression the people that I've talked to, he calls the game anyway.
Yeah,
like it's basically he's in agreement. He sort of knows what he's throwing. If Kirk, he's pushing the button right, he's agreeing with it. If he's not, that's why you see him sort of fumbling around and it goes 5-4-3, and he hadn't kicked his leg yet until he gets to 2 seconds. Like he's, you know, it's, I don't think he really cares about that pitch clock anymore. Like he's going to get his pitch, and if it's 2-1, I don't think he really minds about that. He's not going to be in too big of a hurry.
No, and I'll tell you what else. And John Schneider talked about this last year in spring training, and it's something I've always kind of kept in the back of my head, and that is that Chris Bassett is so smart, he can eventually, and this was John talking last year, he said, I can see a time where he will turn the pitch com into a weapon for him and the pitch clock into a weapon for him. I mean, you saw it, you've seen him in the mound. Today he's squatting on the mound at one point. I think a lot of the head shaking, the nodding and all that,
yeah,
I think a lot of that is designed to throw off the hitter a lot of the time.
I think sometimes when his split finger's working and he's got 4 secondary
yes.
pitches to go to, it's real hard for Kirky to guess the right
sure
one.
Sure it is.
I mean, it's just you're trying to guess along with him what he's thinking and, you know, the feel and look how it looks coming off the finger. It's just sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But I'd say this, whenever we have John on this week, Jim, We will ask about the pitch clock.
Yes,
and,
we
and
will.
That fumbling around.
Pitch calm
and seeing
is what he was talking about.
I apologize. Yeah. But we will ask about that and see what his answer is.
Yeah, that is. And, of course, we know that Chris Bassitt was one of the pitchers who, in spring training, criticized, was.
He hated it.
He also really was annoyed that they cut, you know, two more seconds off the pitch clock itself. But I think Jim's point was about pitch calm. But anyhow, you're right. You're absolutely right. We'll talk to John Schneider about
Jeff,
that.
Jeff, you think about this. A hitter has two less seconds to guess along with Chris Bassitt.
Yeah,
and
I think
you just ponder on that for a second. All the things that are going on in the quadrants and the different speeds, and as much as it's no longer see ball, hit ball anymore, as a hitter, you're trying to guess along, and you got two fewer seconds to try and figure it out. Good luck,
Kevin. You've played the game.
Luck.
I got to think that Chris Bassitt's the type of guy who might be able to lull you to sleep, and I don't mean that as I do not mean that as an insult, but I'm saying you watch him on the mound. He's kind of languid, you know, there's that just sort of slow, low energy approach. And these are all positives. I'm saying this is all positives. I would think he would be a difficult guy to hit against, especially, you know, the Mariners are scuffling right now, especially if you're a scuffling team to see a guy like that.
He's very good at reading bats, right? If you look late, he's going to throw you something slower. If you look like you're out in front, he'll speed you up with a fastball. He'll elevate it. He'll throw it at your front elbow. Like, he's doing things to you to sort of screw with your mind, trying to outthink you. And most of the time, he's really good at it.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-53. The Blue Jays have beaten the Seattle Mariners. They have won the first two games of this homestand. Game three is tomorrow, a 3:07 first pitch. John Schneider was asked about Chris Bassitt's outing. We'll hear from the skipper when we come back. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Into the wind at the last second is 0-2 again. Swing and a miss. Beat him with the splitter. 8 Ks today for Chris Bassitt.
He was awesome. You know, I think... For one, he loves pitching here for whatever reason, but his outing was great. He was in kind of total command, and he wanted to get through that inning. That was about as far as we wanted to go with him in terms of pitches, but, I mean, his stuff today executed it really well, whether it was fastball, cutter, split, you know, mixed in the curveball and sweeper too, but just trying to get him through that. You know, Chris is, you know, a veteran guy, and we're always in touch with him, seeing how he's feeling too as the game goes, and he definitely wanted to finish that inning. Kind of just ran out of pitches.
Boy, there you go. Whatever was plaguing Chris Bassitt in the dugout clearly wasn't 115 pitchers should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I think you got to remember, too, they have a veteran rotation. That rotation is going to dictate most of the time if they're going to go back out there or not, or if they're going to be taken out.
Oh, yeah.
So just remember the next time John runs out there that the conversation is strongly probably on one side. And sometimes a manager can be talked out of some things.
Yeah. Sometimes
he
can. That's
sort of, I think, what the rotation's all about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. You're something else, Barker. 5-3, the Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners in the second game of this three-game series. The Baltimore Orioles, by the way, have... little side note here, are calling up Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in baseball, according to ESPN. But I think Buck made the point. They could basically call up their entire AAA team right now. They'd probably win the Central. I don't know where they'd finish in the East, maybe third in the East, but they'd probably win the Central. Hell, they might win both Centrals.
Both Centrals.
They might win both Centrals. They are something else. Anyhow, Jackson Holliday is up to, he's here to break your heart, folks. Just get used to it. He's gonna be here for another decade, and we're all going to be pissed off at him in about another 6 months because he's just going to be ruining the American League East. So let's just not even play the games. I'm just kidding. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Give us a call. You want to talk about Chris Bassitt. I want to talk about John Schneider's managing, Bo Bichette's home run swing. Here's another way to look at home runs, Kevin. I have not done the math, but it seems to me that early in the season, the Jays have given up a number of home runs.
The most home runs in baseball.
It's a good thing I didn't do the math. Concern for you?
Absolutely.
Like even early in the year when, you know, guys are trying to find their footing, et cetera, cold weather in some places, et cetera, Kevin Gausman not being able to, you know, this, all that stuff. Still a concern for you.
Absolutely. I think the theme last year for the whole entire staff was pitch down. Some of the pitches and the home runs they're giving up are not down. Like, you got to get back to that, right? Pounding that down, setting that up. You know, your misses have to be good down there. You know, throwing two strike pitches that are way hittable to hitters that quite frankly shouldn't be hitting home runs off of you. Absolutely. They're going to clean that up. I know Petey well enough that he's chapped about that. I don't like that. Like, that's, you know, it's not walking guys, not giving up homers. I mean, again, I think seven of those were with guys on base.
Yep.
So they are giving up quite a few solo homers, which is okay, I guess. But I just think the totality of the quality of the location for me has to get better, because again, what do we expect from the offense, Jeff? Now, that's the thing, right? If they're a pitching and defense team first, that means you got to keep them in the yard.
If this team is leading, I'm sure
it'll be cleaned up.
Yeah, if this team is leading the majors and home runs allowed in another month, we might have a problem. We might have
fingers
a problem
crossed. That's
that.
Not true.
But your point is well made. You know, from talking to Pete Walker, two things any pitching coach hates, obviously walks and home runs. Talk about Bo's swing tonight and that home run, Kevin. Now, I know it wasn't probably not the best pitch George Kirby's ever going to throw in his major league career, but still, Bo made no mistake on it. Talk about Bo's start to the year was not, again, it's a small sample size, but it wasn't the start to the year Bo probably wanted. What is a sign to you? Because we've seen them a lot now, but you view hitters differently than a lot of us because you played the game. What's a sign to you that Bo's swing is quote-unquote coming around?
Yeah, I think the line drive to right field is a big one for him. You
the
know,
one last night,
the
right?
Baseball.
You're talking about the – yeah. Or just in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. When he starts hitting lineas to the opposite field, that means staying behind the baseball, everything, because of the big giant leg kick and, you know, what he's trying to do with trying to start with the back elbow, get the barrel in way behind his body, keep it in there long periods of time, you know, with a flat bat path. Like, he's not a launch angle guy. He will launch angle with two strikes, you know, getting some breaking balls out front, and he can hit the bottom part of that baseball like he did tonight and create some backspin. But he ain't trying to do that all the time. And when he starts not over swinging and not trying too hard because people around him are not getting it done and he's just Bo Bichette, man, this is good. And then when he runs into pitchers who are trying to aim misses, right? Again, it's that two-strike thing, dude working on something. Everybody knows he is – you know, trying to go strike the ball because that will take him to a whole different level. You're just trying to throw the barrel at the ball at something close, and you got balance and you got tremendous bat speed and bat to ball skills who most humans don't have. And you start getting balls in the air to the pull side. We talked about, Bo said this on our show, that he's going to start trying to hit more homers to the pull side in certain parts of the game. And when he's got a dude on the ropes for him is any count.
Mm-hmm.
Free swinger. He's got an unbelievable, if not the best, two-strike approach in baseball. It's just if he's got a strike left, he's sort of got you on the ropes. And for him to start doing things, but I would think when you start watching him, he starts hitting them line drives free and easy. It's effortless getting to the finish, and it's coming off his bat, and it's to right field. And it's got carry, and it's straight, and it's not got tail to it. That'll tell you everything's on time, and it's good direction. He's not got front side pulling. He's not thinking too much, not over swinging. Yeah, good luck. That means the American League's about to get got.
We mentioned that Chris Bassitt's 115 pitches are the most by any MLB starter in a game in March and April since 2021. Chris Bassitt was asked about the number of pitches he threw after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I felt really good. Obviously, had an idea probably I would throw a higher pitch count today just because I think guys are just a little tired, tired in their bullpen. So, yeah, that's why I did it. This lineup has given me a lot of trouble. So I knew I had to do things kind of, I would say, off script and kind of mix up how I pitch a little bit because they have so many guys in their lineup that are so good at, I'd say like their MO, so to speak, is pretty much don't chase and they hit for power and they get on base a lot. So the fact that they don't chase a lot and that, it makes it difficult for me. I'll just say that.
Chris Bassett also had some comments in general about the rotation.
I'll be honest with you, I've been pretty disappointed in our starters so far. And I think, obviously, this is my third start. Two of my starts were terrible, in my opinion. So I'm no help to the problem. But I just think the biggest thing for us is just getting our starters going. I know I'm so confident in all the guys we have. It's just the first 10, 11 games have been pretty rough for us, to be honest with you, outside of Berrios. So, yeah, just get our starters going. Give the bullpen guys some time off and don't have them like eating so many innings, so to speak.
Well, there you go, Chris Bassett. Kevin, that's pretty blunt.
Yeah, I mean it's true. Sometimes truth hurts, and I'm sure the conversation is being had in the room to everybody that is throwing a baseball for the Toronto Blue Jays. There's no secret there, right? They want to be the best rotation in baseball. They don't make any bones about that. They say it out loud.
We're
supposed to do, we're going to be really good.
And they need to be really good without Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano. I mean, I think we saw last night and the night and the game before John basically talk about expressing concerns about the workload for the bullpen. And we talk about guys taking responsibility. Good on Chris Bassett for, and you know, that's a veteran group. That's not going to ruffle anybody's feathers. I guarantee you to a man, even probably Jose Berríos would probably say he could have done better because that's the way those guys are wired.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, sometimes it hurts. You don't never want to hear that you stink. I mean,
I don't think he said that they really stunk.
He basically said they were awful. He was very disappointed in them. I mean, I think it's funny that he says this team gives him problems, and I'm assuming he's saying that because of the lefties in the lineup. He had 15 at-bats against the lefties. He had 3 walks, gave up 4 hits. The one back Lake City that he gave up there in the 7th inning when he's rolling out there. I just wonder. I think he was talking about changing eye levels. And I know Dan and Buck were talking about that, right? Where he would go sort of outside the box with his sequencing, right? I think sinker down, cutter up, slow breaking ball. Like he's trying to play an off-speed pitch off of doing different things with two different fastballs. And sort of giving a hitter, because they try not to strike out as much. Now, I think they lead baseball in punch-outs. It's like it's sort of going the opposite direction of the way they want it to go. But actually, they are trying to have an approach to where, you know, you choke up, you put a ball in play, you think about letting it travel, hitting it the other way. Like, you'd rather do that than punch out. That's why they're trading really good offensive players, because they're punching out 100 times. I mean, right. I guess the Seattle Mariners are the only team that don't want to punch out 100 times and hit 30 homers. But that's how you do it, right? You attack them in certain ways. You change eye levels. It's just you force a hitter to cover up and down and tunnel off-speed pitches off the elevated fastball that you throw. Could be an elevated cutter. Could be an elevated sinker. Like, he's not afraid to throw both of those. I just find it interesting that I sort of think when you see him searching for the right button with 4 or 5 seconds left, he just gave you the answer of why he's doing that. I think it's just intriguing to hear him actually say out loud what's going on between his ears and for him actually to try and have it play out during a game with a lead when he's trying to get through a game because he understands his bullpen's on fumes and he needs to go a little deeper. That's big league stuff, man. Like, it's just, there's big leaguers and then there's big leaguers times dudes that could just go out and think it and do it on the fly and adjust because the team's made adjustments to him. That's elite stuff.
Yeah, when you think back to this guy, when this guy was with the Mets, one of the knocks against him was that playoff game where he couldn't hear the pitch com because of the noise and all that. Now, it was not a good look. We came over to the Blue Jays. We kind of I mean, you used the word needy. There was, you know, the first couple of interviews, you know, I mean, he ripped open his soul
put
to everybody
tape on,
exposed.
On the plate.
Yeah, and you know, and he had a tendency to kind of, I mean, really open himself to people. And
it has to work, Jeff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's worked.
Well,
that's
and
why.
I'll tell you what, I have said this. I don't know if I've misread a guy as improperly as Chris Bassett. Because I became very halfway through last year, I thought, you know what? I love watching this dude pitch. I just like watching him pitch. I appreciate everything Chris Bassett brings to the table.
Yeah, I think you put him in the right organization, a guy like that, no matter what his age is, you put him around the right pitching coach who simplifies things and says attack with this first will make everything else better. And you go out there and you execute it. I think it's pretty impressive.
Let's squeeze in one more caller. Ryan in Parkdale.
Hey
Ryan.
Just quick question for you guys. Just looking at the rotation here, I don't know if I can trust Bowden Francis. I want to like him after the spring he had, but just looking ahead, like, I don't know. What do you guys think? Is it going to be Ricky Tiedemann? Is it going to be Rodriguez? Is it going to be another option? I don't know. I'm just trying to look at the future here, and I know a lot of teams are struggling with the fifth starter, but just wanted to get your take on that and see what your opinion is. Maybe it's Manoa. I don't know. I don't have too much belief in him, but just wanted to see. Thanks.
Yeah, Ryan, I'll tell you what. Based on everything I'm hearing from Buck and Dan, I really get the impression Yariel Rodriguez is going to be up here sooner as opposed to later, Kevin. I don't know, but Alec Manoa, I think they're going to be a little more careful with Alec Manoa, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if Yariel Rodriguez is up here. Maybe Bowden Francis gets one more start, but it wouldn't surprise me if Yariel Rodriguez is up here.
I think they know about as much about Alec Manoa as we do. I think that's sort of where they're at.
Fair
with
point.
Alec Manoa. Yeah, and I think the Rodriguez thing, he's got a certain amount of bullets in his arm this year. I think they're going to use him at the big league level. He's an experienced guy who knows how to add and subtract, and he's got stuff. He can stuff good hitters to death. Why not bring him up here and see what he's got? There's competition for that fifth spot, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, bring him up. If you need him now, bring him up now. Like, you know, let's not wait. You can worry about August or September when August and September roll around.
Boy, you're good, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. And then if things suck in August and September, we'll blame you for bringing Yariel Rodriguez up in April and May. That's it for us. Blair and Barker tomorrow, 2 to 3, pregame show ahead of the 307 first pitch. Then join us afterwards for Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. I need to do a little bit of business before we run here, don't I? Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Prince George, BC, and Calgary, Alberta. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.